If you would, take your Bibles this morning and turn to Malachi chapter 3. That is like the tithing passage in the Bible. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, so if you can find Matthew, go left, and you'll find Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Jack Benny was famous for being stingy, being tight with his money. Milton Berle talked about his friends. He said, "I have a friend that always remembers the poor. He just never gives them anything. When there's a call for charity, he's the first to put his hand in the pocket and leave it there. He's got a great way of saving money. He forgets who he borrowed it from." I like this one. "This guy could squeeze pennies out of a nickel. He's so cheap, his pants have one-way pockets." "He's so cheap, he went on his honeymoon by himself." Pretty cheap. Now, tithing and giving, it's interesting. When I was a member of Eastside Baptist Church, we had people that got mad and left because they said Roger Wright preached on tithing. I don't ever remember Roger preaching on tithing. "Oh, we go to church, all they do is talk about money." No. You know, Roger always had the attitude, if God has your heart, God has your pocketbook. You know? And so, one excuse is as good as another. If you don't want to do something, one excuse is as good as another. It's like the guy that went next door to his neighbor's house and said, "Can I borrow your chainsaw?" And the man says, "No, my wife's combing her hair with it." And he said, "Your wife's combing her hair with the chainsaw?" He said, "Not really, but when you don't want to do something, one excuse is as good as another." So, Malachi 3:8, we'll start there. This is the provocation of God. "Will man rob God? Yet you've robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation." So, verse 10 is the precept of the tithe, bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And then there's the proving of the tithe. "And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." And there's the plenty of God. "If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." And then the protection of God. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." And then tithing is a profession of faith. Look at verse 12. "And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." It's very interesting that this is the one promise of God where God challenges us to test him. Prove me. Test me. Put me to the test. When you turn loose of what's in your hand, I will turn loose of what's in my hand. And that's one of the exciting things of the Bible. This idea of you cannot outgive God. Jack Taylor in the 1970s, Jack was a big influence on my life. I heard him speak when I was in college. He was pastor of the First Baptist Church of Castle Hills in San Antonio, Texas. And in 1972, revival broke out in San Antonio, and he baptized 2,000 people in 6 months. It was amazing. He went on to speak and write a number of best-selling books for the Southern Baptist Convention. His first book was on the Spirit-filled life. His second book was on much more, the blessings of God. His third book was on prayer. He called it Life's Limitless Reach. He wrote a book on praising God called The Hallelujah Factor. But he wrote a book called God's Miraculous Plan of Economy. And in that book, one of the first chapters is called The Thing You Have to Do to Be Blessed. And Jack talks about you have to give. If you want to be blessed, God says you have to give. Now, there's a protection here. If you tithe to God, you and I would agree that God will make the 9/10 go further than the 10/10 would have gone. But there are a lot of people that don't tithe and they're paying their tithe. God collects it in the form of car repairs and hospital bills and late fees and other things. God says he will collect the tithe. Give it to me and I'll rebuke the devourer. If you don't, the rats are going to eat your food and everything else is going to happen to you. God collects it. We give it to him or he collects it in other ways. It's an Old Testament principle. The Old Testament reward of tithing is national prosperity. The New Testament reward for giving is spiritual riches. So that's the text, number one. Number two, Old Testament tithing. Ron Patterson, who Ron knows the Bible, and Ron and I were talking one night over when they were at church, and he said, you know there are four tithes in the Bible? And I said, yeah, I do. Most people don't, but I do. Number one, there's a tenth given after the Feast of First Fruits. We read that, Leviticus 27. There's a tenth given by the Levites to the priests to support the priesthood. There's a second tenth given by the congregation to support the Levites in the tabernacle. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Then there's a tenth given every 3 years for the poor. That's Deuteronomy chapter 14. The Jewish people did not give a tenth. The average Israelite gave 23%, 23 1/3%, and the Levites gave 33 1/3%. Those are tithes. Now the offerings are what's over and above the tithe. So you have tithes and offerings in the Old Testament, and no, it wasn't just 10%. So, yeah, Ron, I knew that, and I'm glad you know it too, because most people don't know that. The law of first mention. It's important in the Bible sometimes to look at where something mentioned the first time, because that's significant when God's revealing us the stuff in the Bible. What's the law of first mention? Tithing is mentioned not in Exodus and Leviticus when the law was given. The tithe is pre-law. It's before Moses. Exodus chapter 14, verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine to Abraham. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hands. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. Tithing is mentioned in Genesis 14. It's also mentioned Abraham, Genesis 28, 22. So I shall come to my father's house in peace, and then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar will be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee a tenth. Of all that thou wilt surely give the tenth unto thee, Abraham said. Almsgiving, giving to the poor. And this is the way God takes care of poor and needy people, the widows, the orphans. Leviticus 25, 35, if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Deuteronomy 15, 7, if there be poor among of thy brethren, within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thy hand from thy poor brother. We're supposed to really give to people who really need it. Now, another mention of tithing in the Bible is in the book of Judges. People want to get hung up on the walls of Jericho, and they marched around it, the walls fell, they went in, they burned everything. Why did they destroy everything? Well, when you read the book of Judges, the Israelites conquer 10 cities. Really? Yeah, they're listed. Jericho's mentioned in Judges 6:17. The second city is Ai, Judges 8:1. The third, fourth, and fifth cities are in Judges 10:10. Beth Horon, Azekah, and Makkedah. City number six is Libna, chapter 10, verse 29. The seventh city is Lachish, chapter 10, verse 31. The eighth city is Eglon, chapter 10, 34. The ninth city is Hebron, chapter 10, verse 36, and the tenth city is Debir, Judges 10, 38. Okay, big deal, right? Is anything in the Bible by mistake? I don't think so. Jericho, everything was burned, everything was destroyed. After Jericho, beginning with Ai, the Israelites got to keep all the treasure, all the spoils of the conquering of that city. What is that? The tithe. Jericho was the one-tenth that was for God. The offerings to God are burnt offerings. Everything in Jericho was to be burned. The first tenth city went all to God. And the other nine cities, they could keep all the treasure they could find and carry off. The principle of the tithe in the book of Judges in the Old Testament. Now, we looked at the text, Malachi 3:10. We looked at the Old Testament tithing. In the New Testament, it's not called tithing, it's called giving. Okay? It's really more than the tithe. In 1 Corinthians 16, it talks about taking up an offering. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, that's in modern-day Turkey. Even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Which day did they worship on? The first day of the week, Sunday. Why? Because that's the day Jesus rose from the dead. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Interesting. Take up an offering on the first day of the week. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of afflictions the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willingly of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. First they gave themselves to God, then they gave their offerings. Very interesting principle. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, but we will take from a grouch, won't we? If you're grouchy, put it in the plate anyway. We'll take it, okay? But God loves a cheerful giver. All right, J.B. Gambrell, the famous Southern Baptist leader, said one time, it is not thinkable from the standpoint of the cross that anyone would give less under grace than the Jews gave under the law. He said of the tithe that Abraham commenced it, Jacob continued it, Moses confirmed it, Malachi commanded it, and Jesus commended it. The giving what we have unto God. Well, God owns everything. Psalm 50, verse 10, all the beasts of the field are mine, and the animals of the forest are mine, saith the Lord. We read Haggai 2:8, the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God owns everything. Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and have our being. It's all about God. Romans 14:8, if we live, we live unto the Lord. If we die, we die unto the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. It's kind of Paul's summary statement there. Jesus has all power. Remember the Great Commission. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Jesus has all the power. Jesus has all the wealth. In fact, if you want to talk about being rich, just in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 1:7, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:18, the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Ephesians 2:7, show the exceeding riches of his grace. Ephesians 3:8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ephesians 3:16, according to the riches of his glory. How rich is God? More than we can imagine, guys. So you have the text, you have Old Testament tithing, we have New Testament giving, and then we have the test that God does in our lives. Matthew 6, 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Larry Burkett, famous for founding Christian Financial Concepts. Larry Burkett was an elder at Park Avenue Baptist Church in Titusville, Florida. He was an engineer that worked at NASA on the rockets. But he was an elder in Park Avenue Baptist Church. I had a chance to meet him one time. And he started studying what the Bible said about money. Two-thirds of all the parables of Jesus were about money. Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven or hell. And Jesus talked about how to make it, how to spend it, how to manage it, how to invest it, how to mismanage it. Jesus covers all those topics. In fact, Larry Burkett wrote a business textbook called Business by the Book, based on the Bible. But Larry Burkett would say, when someone has financial troubles, first thing I do is I sit down with him and look at his checkbook. Where is he writing? Where is he sending his money? How much money is he giving to God, and how much money is he giving to other things? Interesting concept. Matthew 10:8, Jesus said, you have received freely, freely give. John 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. You know, and it's not the idea, you give, God gets, okay. We give, we get. No, no, no. It's better than that. Give, and it shall be given unto you full measure, pressed down, shaken together. You remember when you went to the market and you bought a bushel of something, and you wanted to make sure you got a full bushel? So you shook the bushel basket, and you pressed it down, and you put more in it, and you shook it and let it settle, and you packed more into it because you wanted every bit. Give, and it shall be given unto you, full measure, pressed down and shaken together. For as you give, God shall give unto you. What a verse, guys. A bell is not a bell until you ring it. A song is not a song until you sing it. A joy is not a joy until you share it. Love is not love until you give it away, and wealth is not wealth until you keep it in circulation. God wants his wealth in circulation. Larry Burkett said one time, he said, it's like a stovepipe. We're like a stovepipe, and God puts money in the top, and he looks to see how much comes out the bottom and how much stays in the pipe. And then it says, for as you give, so shall be given unto you. God tests us. It's a heart test. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Everything good in the Christian life we're supposed to pass on. Salvation came my way so I could pass it on to somebody else. God's blessings came my way so I could pass it on to someone else. God's grace came my way on the way to somebody else. God's finances come my way so I can pass it on to somebody else. God intends for everything he gives us to be passed on, and that also includes the financial blessings he gives us. Examples. Here's a man that said, yes, I tithe, and I would like to tell you how it came about. I had to begin work as a small boy to help support my mother. My first wage amounted to $1.50 per week. The first week after I went to work, I took the $1.50 home to my mother, and she held the money in her lap and explained to me that she would be happy if I gave a tenth. of it to the Lord. I did, and from that week until this day, I have tithed every dollar God has entrusted to me. And I want to say, if I had not tithed the first dollar I made, I would not have tithed the first $1 million I made. Tell your readers to train children to tithe, and they will grow up to be faithful stewards of the Lord. Who wrote that? John D. Rockefeller, the founder of Standard Oil Company, biggest oil company in America. Some of the large corporations had their beginnings in growth through faithful tithing. Henry P. Kroll contracted tuberculosis as a boy and couldn't go to school, but he heard a sermon by Dwight L. Moody. The young Kroll prayed and said, "I can't be a preacher, but I can be a good businessman. God, if you will let me make money, I will use it in your service." Under the doctor's advice, Kroll worked outdoors for 7 years and regained his health. Then he went to Ravenna, Ohio, and bought a little rundown Quaker mill. Within 10 years, Quaker Oats was a household name to millions. For more than 40 years, Henry P. Kroll faithfully gave 60 to 70% of his income to God's work. Quaker Oat Company, Standard Oil. Many years ago, a lad of 16 years old left home to seek his fortune. All his worldly possessions were tied in a bundle, which he carried in his hand. As he trudged along, he met an old neighbor, the captain of a canal boat, and the following conversation took place, which changed the whole current of the boy's life. "Well, William, where are you going?" "I don't know," he answered. "Father's too poor to keep me at home any longer and says I must now make a living for myself." "There's no trouble about that," said the old captain, "but be sure you start right and you'll get along finely." William told his friend that the only trade he knew anything about was soap and candle making, at which he had helped his father at home. "Well," said the old man, "let me pray with you once more and give you a little advice, and then I'll let you go." They both knelt down upon the towpath, and the dear old man prayed earnestly for him and gave him this advice. "Someone soon will be the leading soap maker in New York City. It can be you as well as anyone. I hope it is you. Be a good man, give your heart to Christ, pay the Lord all that belongs to him of every dollar you make, make an honest bar of soap, make a pound of soap a full pound, and I'm certain that you'll be prosperous and be a rich man." The boy arrived in the city and found it hard to get work. Lonesome and far from home, he remembered his mother's words and the last words of the captain, and he was led to, and this is Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and united with a local church. He remembered his promise, and the first dollar he earned brought up the question of the Lord's part. In the Bible, he found that Jews were commanded to give one-tenth. So he said, "The Lord will take a tenth, I'll give the Lord that." Having regular employment, he soon became a partner. After a few years, the partner died, and William became the sole owner of the business. He now resolved to keep his promise to the old captain. He made an honest soap, gave a full pound of soap, and instructed his bookkeeper to open an account with the Lord and carry one-tenth of all his income to that account. He prospered, his business grew, his family was blessed, his soap sold, and he grew rich faster than he ever hoped. Then he gave two-tenths to the Lord, prospered more than ever. He gave three-tenths to the Lord, then four-tenths, and five-tenths. He educated his family, settled all of his bills, and gave all of his income to God's work. He prospered more than ever. This is the story of William Colgate, Colgate Palmolive Soap. And we could do the same thing with J.C. Penney. We could do the same thing with J.L. Kraft, Kraft Cheese. We could do the same thing with Frederick Welch, Welch's Grape Juice. Dr. Welch was well taken care of as a medical doctor, but he invented a way to pasteurize grape juice. And he had wanted to be a missionary, but he was too sickly to be a missionary. And one reason he became a doctor was because of his health. But he said, if this patent for pasteurizing grape juice works, I will give all the profit to missions. And he did. Every dime he ever made off of Welch's grape juice went to Christian missions. Many of the great companies that are in our country today were founded by men that were blessed by God because they tithed and they gave. It's amazing. Given, it shall be given you. When you let go of what's in your hand, God lets go of what's in his hand. What's the truth about it? God owns it all. God owns it all. 2 Corinthians 29, verses 11 and 12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both the riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand power and might, and in thy hand to make it great and to give strength unto all. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. It's in God's nature to give. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. It's in God's nature to give. He that spared not his own son, but gave him freely for us all, shall he not freely give unto you all things? We don't give according to our apparent wealth. We give according to God's actual wealth. We have to have bifocal vision. There's what we have, and then there's what God has. And God says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We give with the expectation of blessing, and this is something I wish you guys would start doing if you don't do it already. Many of you put something in the offering plate this morning. Now, the parable of the sower says, when the sower sowed on the good seed, it brought back 10, 20, 50, 100 fold. When you give to something, when you give to a mission offering, when you give to the church offering, do you ask God as you drop that in the plate to multiply it back to you 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 fold? Do you expect God to bless you when you bless God with your giving? And if not, why not? Will you start doing that? Will you ask God as you give, as a blessing to your obedience, ask God to bless you back? Because you are planting a seed, and God has promised to give you a harvest. So when you give, ask God to bless you back with 10, 20, 100 fold. And as we're faithful, to him who is faithful in little, God said, I will make you faithful in a lot. It's a test of the heart. It's a test of faithfulness. And I think we should expect God to bless us because he said he would. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We're not being greedy. We're not being materialistic. The Lord told us he would bless us, and I don't see anything wrong with us expecting him to bless us. But as we give, when you give, just remember and remind the Lord that he promised us that he would give you back 10, 20, 100 fold. Because when we turn loose what's in our hand, he turns loose what's in his hand. But the most important gift we can give anybody is the gift of eternal life. To accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you get the peace and the pardon and the purpose in life that money can't buy. There's more than money in this life, and there's stuff that money cannot buy, and that's peace with God and forgiveness of sin and dealing with guilt and having the joy of the Lord in your heart. And if you don't have that this morning, you can have it. We're going to sing an invitation hymn, number 606. I gave my life for thee. And if you've never made that decision for Jesus, you can do that this morning. Let's stand together and sing number 606. This will be our invitation hymn.